There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey everyone, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy. You guys, today we get a chance to talk to Mike Kitko. You guys, he is so freaking amazing that I don't even know like if any one good title really fits you, Mike, to be honest with you. Like, you are a speaker, you are a coach, you are an author, but there's so much more to you that none of those honestly do you justice. And I cannot wait for my audience to be able to get a chance to meet you, be inspired by you, and really get them unstuck. So thanks for being here. I love, love, love the fact that we get to talk.
Well, gosh, that's awesome. No, I'm excited to be here. And I don't think, I mean, titles are, they're bullshit, right? They're stupid. So it's just, we just serve in the way we serve, and it doesn't matter what mechanism it comes out in. It's just goodness, yeah, right? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we show up where we need to be. And the really cool part is that you have such a diverse background and so many passions that you can really show up in a diverse way for people, really just depending on what they need. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you are serving people today?
Yeah, I was having a conversation. It's tacks on to exactly what you just said. I was having a conversation with a guy that's trying to get his business rolling, right? And I said, listen, here's the whole trick to business. Listen, just walk up to somebody and say, hey, what kind of problems are showing up in your life? Like, what's got you in a headlock? And sometimes they're going to say something and you get to say, hey, would you like some help with that? And that really is the whole trick to business, right? So coach, speaker, podcaster, author, none of it matters. Just what's got you in a headlock? Can I help, right? But the what I do, I'm an executive coach, spiritual coach, self-mastery coach, business coach, all wrapped into one big ball of goodness. Yeah. I do have, you know, I have written a couple books and I do have a podcast. But really what I do is I love working with business owners. And the reason I love working with business owners is because there's no excuses, right? As business owners, we have complete control of our schedule, of our time, of our resources, that you literally have no excuses. And you can't say, well, I can't. Well, of course you can, right? Yeah. So that's not an excuse either. Yeah. But the point is I help them understand like what internal conflicts are getting in the way of their peace, their joy, their happiness, their zest for life, their excitement. Like I literally, Michelle, when I really want people to wake up, open their eyes and be excited for life.
Yes.
Like to be enthusiastic and excited for life. And if you're not in that state, then we've got to do something different because you're not meant, you were never born to live a watered down, mundane, half-assed, mediocre, like average, unexcited life where you're just searching for security. That is not living. That's trying not to die. Yes. And as business owners, another reason I love working with business owners is because through our business, we can make significant impacts in this world. Yes. So there's no one like second to an entrepreneur or everyone second to an entrepreneur, but no one can help the world more than entrepreneurs. We solve problems that no one else can solve. Right. So not only can I help them get out of their own way and enjoy their journey in their life, but I can also help them have an even more incredible impact that makes them feel even more significant.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And you know what, I have so much in common when it comes to our love for helping business owners. And I think like Absolutely. For me, one of the things that I have found is that it's oftentimes easier for us to invest in ourselves because of our business than it is for us to invest in ourselves as ourselves. I don't know. That's what I found. It's like, okay, well, if I can write this off, this is going to help me make more money, then I'm willing to invest in this. Yeah. But what's so cool is that we don't have business problems. We have personal problems that we bring into our business. And what oftentimes people find when they start to work with people like you and I is that all of a sudden they start to discover all of the crap that's been carrying with them their whole lives that now because of their business, we have to diagnose and like hit up front. And then all of a sudden, all these other places in their life start to improve. Their relationships start to improve. The way that they manage money starts to improve. The way they manage their time starts to improve. The way that they care about or love themselves starts to improve. And that is freaking so powerful, isn't it?
It is. It is. So as we change and evolve on the inside, as we change who we are and how we identify with ourselves and how much love we have for ourselves and how much joy we experience, and we let go of like these limiting beliefs and these excuses that we make, and we stop lying to ourselves, and we really clear out the clutter, the life around us that we get to experience, it shifts automatically. 100%. Okay. So life is literally like, look in your life, look at your bank account, look at the quality of your relationship, look at the quality of your health. That is a reflection of who you are inside. Mm-hmm. So as that inside changes, all of those change themselves. Yes. Now, here's the magic of being a business owner. As the business owner grows, the business grows itself.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So John Maxwell called it the law of the lid, but really just think about it. You don't need to focus on growing your business. You need to focus on growing yourself. And as you grow, the business will grow itself. Because the business is, you are the only cap to your business. And as you grow, everything around you grows, including your profitability, including your service and your impact in the world, including your employee retention, including your employee welfare and well-being, your customers, their satisfaction, all of it will grow as you grow. You only need to focus on something really small, and that's what's going on inside of your mind and your body.
I love that. And so I want to really quickly just address, what is the name of your podcast? What's it about? And then tell us about your books. And then I want to dive into kind of like the origin stories of all of this.
Perfect. Yeah. So my podcast, the title is Lead, Love, Profit, Play. And it's really the beginning of it is, my name is Mike Kitko, and I'll never be a hustle whore or a grind guru. Right. But I do believe in having it all, health, wealth, and a life full of love. Like, I don't think we have to kill ourselves to success. I don't think we, and in fact, the last line of the intro says, I believe in success without distress. Like, life is not about hardship and creating hardship. Right. Life is not about stressing ourselves out to create. It's about enjoying every step of the journey and enjoying. If you're not enjoying life, you're not doing it right. Right. So you're not going to make it out alive. You literally have no reason to play it safe. You're not going to make it out alive. It's a done deal. You're going to die. So are your kids. So is your spouse. Playing small serves no one. So the point being is, let's go big. Let's go have fun, and let's make a lot of impact in the world through our businesses. So I've written a couple books, and the first one is titled The Imposter in Charge. And it really is my origin story. And it talks about, and I'll just share this now. For 16 years of my marriage, I was physically, mentally, emotionally abusive to myself, my wife, my children. We grew up, I had a toxic household. There was nothing happy in my life. I was a 300-pound suicidal over-drinker, you know, just toxic-level drinker. My wife was in pharmaceutical chemical addiction. I was in executive-level positions. I hated them. I did them because I thought it was the right way for me to live, right? I thought I just needed these big jobs, and I kept ascending the ladder of corporate. I didn't know why I kept getting promoted, and I didn't know why I kept succeeding, because I was blind to my gifts, and I was blind to my talents, and I was blind. I had no idea what was good about me. I knew everything that was bad about me, but I had no idea what goodness was inside of me. But I kept ascending the ladder, and when I got to a certain point, I started to implode, and it all started to fall apart, because, you know, the book's called The Imposter in Charge for a reason. And it's because I felt like an imposter as I was ascending the ladder. I felt like, because there was such insignificance and inadequacy inside of me, I never felt real. I never felt valuable. I never felt like I was worthy or deserving of anything good. So I set out to like make my life as miserable as possible. But when everything did start to fall apart, and this happened in 2016, I got fired from two executive level positions in about 20 months. And again, that was that 300-pound suicidal over drinker. And at that point, I like hit the reset on my life. And I started all over from scratch. And literally I pulled the barrel of the gun out of my mouth. And I said, okay, if everything that I've learned in my life, and I didn't have the courage to pull the trigger. It's the only thing to stop me. I didn't possess the courage to pull the trigger. If I would have possessed the courage, we would not be talking today. But the point being is, when I reflected and I took inventory, I said, look, everything in my life that I've ever learned, that I believe, that I think is true, that I've accumulated as my knowledge and wisdom and as my identity and all of it, it got me here. So it's all got to go. Because if all that accumulated knowledge and wisdom, things that I thought I knew, I was literally miserable, but I would try to convince somebody that they were stupid for not agreeing with me.
Yeah.
And it made no sense, right? It was such unhealthy pride. And when I realized that I was miserable and I almost killed myself, I realized I got nothing figured out. So I hit the reset physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, financially, all of it. I hit the reset. I filed for divorce from my wife. And that's the only way we were able to put our marriage back together. And we literally last week just celebrated 21 years of marriage. So we couldn't even make our marriage fail. Like it was like we were failures at making our marriage fail. But the point, I filed for divorce. We had threatened divorce so many times and I pulled the trigger and she's like, what will it take to put this thing back together? I was like, we're not doing it your way anymore. I'm not going to work anymore. My wife was scarcity mindset. She was poverty mindset. She had such deep money fear that I kept going for jobs and I kept getting jobs that I didn't want, that I hated, because she said, we need more money. We need more money. We need more money. We need benefits. And I kept doing it her way. And at that point I said, we're not doing it your way anymore. Like literally, like I'm going to build a business like I've always wanted. And you can either come with me or not. And she didn't love it. She didn't love the idea, but she didn't fight. And now we get to like live this life where we travel for speaking engagements and people bring us together like to speaking engagements and we're impacting the world. And my podcast has reached 6 continents, you know, 34 countries and 600 cities. It's freaking amazing the impact that we had. Yeah. But I had to literally stand up for myself. I had to get rid of everything I believed about life and then rebuild from the inside out. Now the mission of my business is to make the world a more loving place, because that's what I've always wanted. I've always wanted to feel love, but I just never allowed myself to feel what I wanted most.
Yeah. And one of the things that I remember you mentioning the first time we met was that once you got to that place where you literally had the gun, you know, in your mouth or near your face.
No, in my mouth.
In your mouth. Like that moment you said, anything past that is I'm living on borrowed time because I don't need to be here.
And that got emotional.
I know, right? Like that stood out to me. I didn't write that down. Like I literally just remembered that from the first time we met.
I'm in the bonus. I'm in the bonus. This is all bonus time. My eyes are watering right now.
Yeah.
I'm in the bonus. Like I shouldn't even be here. It's all play time now.
And that's just it. Like, what a beautiful gift for you to be able to have that insight. You're like, I'm hitting reset. None of the stuff that I'm doing up to this point is working for me anymore. And now look at you. I mean, those of you guys who are listening to this podcast on just audio and not watching the YouTube, like Mike is clearly not 300 pounds. You're just grinning from ear to ear. Like you literally give out the energy of joy and happiness just being in your presence. And I can't imagine you in any other version than this.
Oh, shoot. I on social media, I show the big picture, the shame picture all the time, right? With a beer in my hand. And I'm telling you, that guy like literally thought I had the world figured out. I had a beer in my hand. I was 300 pounds. I was abusive to everything, everything that I loved, I was abusive to. And I mean, if you didn't believe the political affiliation that I believed, if you didn't like the sports teams that I followed, if you didn't believe, you know, all my spiritual beliefs, whatever, if you didn't believe what I believed, I just thought you were stupid. But I was freaking miserable. And oftentimes it's the people that think they've got it all figured out are the ones that are the most lost, right? So I kind of wake up every day and I'm like, okay, it's a new day. This is like kindergarten all over again. Yeah. Like I get to relearn life. This is beautiful. There's something cool that I learned. The greatest scientists in the world go to work every day to prove themselves wrong, not to prove themselves right. It's like, what limiting beliefs do I hold? Let me go and disprove that one. Like, let me prove that false. Like, let me run into the thing that I think where I'm capped. Let me run into that and disprove that.
Yeah.
And that's when life becomes a big, game. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's just like this big giant adventure, right? And I've actually compared it to that. Like sometimes we take our lives or ourselves way too seriously. I'm guilty of that over and over again. But my family and I enjoy watching the Ninja, American Ninja Warrior, whatever, like that show. Mm-hmm. And it's like this giant obstacle course. And sometimes they get, you know, they fall off or they get through, but it's like you get down and then you just get back up again. Like, why do we have to take ourselves so sick and seriously all the time? Right. And why not just have more joy and more fun and see what we can do with this tiny little life that we're given and how much of an impact we can actually make, right?
You're not getting out alive. Stop taking it so seriously. There's a word, like when I was on my mastermind call one time I was literally trying to anchor that point. Yeah. And a word came up into my awareness and it was seriosity. Like we live in a world of seriosity. This is garbage.
You want to know what my least favorite four letter F word is?
What?
Fine.
Oh. Yeah, I'm fine.
Fine, I'm fine. My life is fine. Like, I'm like, fine. If you are living in fine, right, and not living in where you really, your heart is telling you to go, if you're staying in fine because that feels safe, you're living in fine because you're too afraid to take the risks, if you're living in fine, you're going to look back on your life and you're going to wish that you had actually stepped into something that you were very likely equipped for.
And there's days, and listen to everyone listening, please understand this. Please. You can wake up every day and the first thought is, let's effing go. let's go. Like, let's live. You literally can wake up on fire for life.
And like, so go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
No, it's so important to understand there's so many things that you think you have to do, mm-hmm. but when we eliminate those things that we feel like we have to do, when we only choose to do things that we get to do, that we're like inspire us to do, then our life becomes a big ball of like Play-Doh. I mean, it's right. Awesome. And we get to create and we get to enjoy. Sometimes, I mean, my wife and I, we sit next to each other and we're like, how is this even possible?
Yeah.
This life that we're living, how is this even possible? But when it becomes possible is when you stop fearing the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. you stop fearing loss, right? Insecurity. Insecurity is just a fear of loss. That's it. Yeah. And when you stop living through insecurity, inadequacy, insignificance, and you only listen to the voice of inspiration. Like we were talking about before we jumped on here that I've got bookkeepers and I've got CPAs and I've got everybody to do. I've got virtual assistants, everybody to do things that I don't want to do. And right. I don't listen, we're conditioned that if we don't want to do something, we're lazy. And I call bullshit. Like, yes. I don't do things that I don't want to do because I'm lazy. I'm not a lazy man.
Right.
Like, if I'm inspired by something, I will do it for days without sleep.
Right.
But
right.
I don't do things I don't want to do because I don't want to do them. That's it. It's not because I'm lazy. Right. It's because I'm too valuable to do things that I don't want to do.
Yes, 100%. I was actually, my mom and I were joking around the other day because she's like, she was joking around about something and she's like, you know, your sister is a really, really good cleaner, but, you know, like needs to, we were joking around with her, like, yeah, she doesn't love to cook or whatever. And my mom's like, and you're a terrible cleaner. And then she giggles because she knows that I have a housekeeper.
Yeah,
and
me then, too.
You know, I'm like, you know what? Like, yeah. I will own that because I can clean, but you know what? Like, I would rather be in my clients, like Zoom. I'd rather be diving into the things that I'm doing. I'd rather be on this podcast with you. And so I'm grateful that I've created a life where I can have a housekeeper. I will own that award all day long because I can, and I get a chance to show up and do the things that light me up every single day.
There's people right now listening to this podcast and saying, but I can't afford a bookkeeper and I can't afford a CPA and I can't afford a housekeeper. And I hired them before I felt I could afford them too, right? And most successful people that I know, they hire them before they think they can afford them. Yep. And it frees you up to do the things that you love because that's your moneymaker.
Yes.
And listen, this is going to make me sound like an asshole and that's not the intent.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is the mindset that I bring to my home. Okay. I've got a client that has a home, a housekeeping service. Okay. And one time I was talking to my wife and she was cleaning the house. And I said, hey, why don't we get a housekeeper? And she's like, no, it's okay. And she's sweeping. Right. Yeah. And like a couple weeks later, we're getting ready to have a party and she's sweeping. And she said, hey, can you help me? Can you go in? I was like, no. But I picked up my phone and I said, but I can like hire us a housekeeper. I tried to solve your problem. Don't make your problem my problem now. Right? I tried to solve your problem and you didn't want your problem solved. And now you're trying to make your problem my problem. It's not my problem. You chose this problem. Now, do you want me to hire a housekeeper or not? She said, yes. Cool. Don't wish yourself and choose yourself into a state of distress and then try to blame other people or try to get other people involved in your distress. The point being is I like to make my life as easy as possible because we've got 80, 90 years on this planet, right? And I'm in the bonus. There's not a second that I want to spend doing things that don't light my soul on fire, just like you.
So I just have to just really, really dive into this next part of our interview, which is, okay, Mike, like, I need to know how you got from where you were to where you are, because that's what our listeners are going to be dying to know. Like, they're the ones that are miserable right now. They're the ones that are stuck in those mindsets. They're the ones who are all of the things that you described, and they want to be where you are today. So fill us in, brother. Like, what can we do to get to where you are?
I'm going to give you two powerful things that were game changers for me. And there's a couple more, but I'm just going to share the top two. Okay. Number one is make your life's mission about something greater than your own comfort and security. Mm-hmm. Right. So many people are living to avoid pain and seek pleasure.
Yep.
And like growth, success, wealth, it's not comfortable. Right. Like having it is. Like living in it is, but the creation of it's not.
Right.
So if you're living for just being comfortable and just being secure, you're really not living. You're just trying not to die. Okay. Yeah. You've got yourself in such a small box. The mission of my life, the mission of my business is to make the world a more loving place. Like I every person I come in contact with at the grocery store, my family, my kids, my clients, people I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
I've got one ambition in mind, and that's just to leave them better than I found them. And I'm getting emotional right now to say that because there's not one person, and I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's not one person that I engage with that isn't better because they met me.
Right.
Make your life about something more, something greater than just your own comfort and your own security. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, but this is the way we keep doing that at a greater level, is every day focus and expand on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being.
Okay.
Listen, when I was a 300-pound suicidal and alcoholic, drinking at toxic levels, I couldn't serve myself. I couldn't serve anyone. Mm-hmm. Like I had to clean up my body.
Yeah.
And in order to clean up my body, I also had to clean up my mind because your body is a reflection of your mind, right? Like worry, fear, doubt creates a feeling of unsafeness. Mm-hmm. It creates insecurity and it creates body weight and it creates unhealth. It creates disease. It creates like toxic emotions. It creates all this. Your thoughts create your emotion. Yes. So when you clean up your thoughts, you're cleaning up your emotion, right? And then your spirituality. And I don't care what your spirituality is. For me, it's just life. We are alive. We are life. We don't have a life. We are life. Like we are consciousness through like these eyeballs observing life in a meat suit. It's really cool. We're a ghost in a meat suit. Yeah. But the point being is every day, like wake up with the intention of making your body, your mind and emotions and your connection with spirit, whatever that looks like for you, as powerful as you possibly can, and do it for the benefit of living for a mission greater than your own comfort and security. So when I pass on that next dessert, when I don't have it, it's because I want to serve at a higher level. When I don't drink that next one too many drink, it's because I want to serve at a higher purpose. When I don't just escape and watch binge on Netflix, it's because I want to serve at a higher purpose. The next time I leave someone better than I found them, it's because I want to serve at a higher purpose.
Yeah.
Right. But I had to get out of like what's in it for me and make it about the benefit of the world. So I'm going to talk about this. Guys, I got my last breath figured out. My last exhale on my deathbed. Okay. I got, like, think of this. Here's my visual. LaShawn, I've already got this, like, already fine tuned. Okay. I'm on my deathbed and I'm getting ready to take my last exhale, and I know it. There's going to be one last thought that I have, and here's what I want it to be. You ready?
Yep.
That was awesome. That's what I want my last thought to be. Now, I just turned 50. From 50 until that last thought, I get to live the life that will create that thought.
Yeah.
And anytime I'm out of integrity with myself, or a lifestyle, a choice, a decision, whatever, an interaction that would eliminate the ability for me to say, that was awesome, I'm going to let it go, because I want that. Like, I want to reflect in that last thought and say, what an awesome adventure. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do it again.
That is so interesting, because I've never thought about it like that, but I'm going to share with you, like, I've never thought about my last breath, but I've thought about my funeral.
Oh, there you go.
Whatever, okay. Right? Ballpark. I'm like, okay, so I told my family, I'm like, all right, so, like, I would love for people someday to just say, like, well done, good and faithful servant. Like, because of her, my life is better. Now, yeah. I'm going to get teary-eyed, right? Because that's, like, why I'm here.
Yeah.
Now, I've never really thought about that in the terms of, like, every single small decision that I'm making is that decision to go on Netflix, to take the nap, whatever. Now, I'm not saying that those things are not, like, we have to take care of ourselves, we have to fuel our bodies, whatever. But if I'm making a pattern where I'm taking a nap instead of, you know, talking to my clients or potential clients, or I'm, you know, spending the entire time on my road trip watching Netflix instead of, you know, connecting with people, it's like, is that decision consistent with well done, good and faithful servant? Because of you, my life is better, right? And so that is so profound, because when you think about your legacy that you want to leave, and you aren't thinking about it just in the terms of your legacy that you're leaving when you're no longer here, but the legacy that you get to live every single day along the way, that's what this is about.
There's a word for that, and it's called integrity. Are you in integrity, or are you not in integrity? Like, look, we just celebrated our 50th anniversary, and I went 4.5 years completely sober, and I redeveloped a relationship with myself, and that allowed me to develop a healthy relationship with everything else. So when we went out to dinner, I had a glass of wine with my wife, and we toasted, and we had a good time, and I've got a healthy relationship with alcohol, just like I have a healthy relationship with food. You know, I was an overeater. It doesn't mean I stopped eating, right?
Right.
So it's just, how do we relate with that thing? And how do we, like, when do we know that we've had enough? So I had a glass of wine, and we enjoyed ourselves. This isn't about, like, eliminating everything good from our life. This is about choosing levels and choosing quantities and making decisions that serve our purpose, serve a life well lived, you know, an awesome life, that don't detract from it. When you have that one too many drink and you wake up foggy, you're not going to wake up and say, let's go, right? You're going to say, what did I do? Or why did I have that last drink? Why are you going to wake up in the morning with that regret? Like, we don't have time for regret when we're trying to live that awesome life, the good and faithful servant, right? So, but and I'm not saying I get it all right. I'm not saying that at all.
Right.
There is no perfect. I mean, we are imperfect creatures, all imperfect together, perfectly imperfect. But the point is to every single day to try to get better and try to sharpen and try to improve and try to expand on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual states. That's what second principle.
What do you find is the most common reason that your clients are not living their best life? Like, what is the biggest stumbling block that you see come across the people that you help day in and day out?
I mean, for my clients, it's fairly easy. Money fear, right? I mean, there's self-sabotage. We love to sabotage ourselves. So when things are going well, we find a way to screw them up, right? Yep. When we're too happy, we find a way, make the goodness stop. We find a way to make it go away. And what I've found is the easiest self-sabotage technique to trigger is worry, fear, and doubt about money. It used to be humanity, like living, like, remember Little House on a Prairie, right? Yeah. I grew up watching Little House on a Prairie.
Hey, I'm from Minnesota. Like, I'm, like, proud of, like, not very far from Walnut Grove, by the way.
I used to come home from school, and it was the first thing I would do is go and watch Laura Ingalls Wilder. But anyway, point being is, in that lifestyle back then, it was about collecting food for the winter.
Right.
Now, we don't need to collect food for the winter. We've turned to accumulating money, and money is our new food. We associate money with survival. Like they, like in those days, in the cabin days, they associated food with survival. Now we associate money with survival. And it's like, oh my God, my resources are getting ready to go away. And that's like a really easy self-sabotage mechanism to trigger. Yeah. And it is prevalent on humanity, you know, where so many people worry about money. And money is just a resource to, you know, for a life well lived, right? And to keep expanding our impact and our reach and, and our joy and whatever. But to worry about it is, in my mind, with this mindset, not the old mindset, but with this mindset, to worry about money is foolish, because every time I need, it shows up. Like, life wants for me what I want for myself. I just didn't trust it, right? Like, life's not difficult. It's lack of trust in life that makes life so difficult.
Right.
So when we start to trust life, and this is that spiritual connection, right? Mm-hmm. When we start to trust life, when we start to trust God, we start to trust the universe, you trust whatever you want and say, mm-hmm. I am so friggin' valuable that my God, that life, that the universe will not forsake me. You're gonna find that that's true.
Yeah.
But if you're always living on the cutting edge of worry, fear, and doubt, you're never going to feel safe, and you're never going to live soul out. So anyway, that was a long way to answer the question of that is the struggle that my clients face the most. And most of them, I was having a discussion with one of them the other day, and I said, he said, I'm worried about money. Yeah. I said, cool. I've heard it a billion times. And I said, all right, what's your net worth? And he gave me a number, and it was a big number. Mm-hmm. Cool. So tell me about your monthly expenses. And he gave me a number. Mm-hmm. And I said, it was a big number. And I went on my calculator. I was sitting across from him, and I went on my calculator and I started doing some calcs. And I said, net worth divided by monthly expenses. I said, man, we got trouble. And he got like a look on his face. And I said, you only have 14 and a half years of your expenses covered if you weren't to make any more money the rest of your life. You only have 14 and a half years. You only have 176 months of your bills covered. We got to worry. Like, if you, how much did you make last month? And he gave me a big number. And I said, so if everything went away for the rest of your life and you never made another cent, you only have 176 months of your bills covered. We really should start panicking. And at this point, he started laughing. I was like, you see where I'm going with this? He said, I'm fine, aren't I? I said, yeah, you're fine. You're worried about nothing. You're self-sabotaging yourself. Things are going too well, and you don't, and your mind can't handle it.
Right.
So the point is if we look at our, like, our net worth and what we have access to, and we look at our monthly expenses, most times we're fine. We just don't want to feel fine, because feeling fine, feeling good, feeling okay, feeling like everything's going well, like, to a human mind, feels unsafe. That, like, we're letting our guard down and we're dropping our shield. And if we drop our sword and our shield, then we're exposed and we're vulnerable. And if we're exposed and vulnerable, then it's just a matter of time before we die. Right.
Right.
Does this make sense? I hope that all makes sense.
It totally does. And I think that sometimes there's limiting beliefs that we carry with us that we don't even realize we have. It's things that we have learned from our parents, our grandparents.
Sure.
And it's sometimes we get addicted to the struggle. Right? We don't think that we can have things that come easily to us. I caught myself in this habit of hustling for the sake of hustling, because I felt like I had to hustle in order to be successful. Success only comes from hard work, where when I'm doing what I love, it doesn't feel like work. And when I learned more about the quantum world and how I have to leave space to receive, I don't have to hustle quite so hard. I work, and then I leave that space to receive what is coming to me as a result of that hustle that I had. I think we're so afraid of all of the things, the shoe dropping, just like you said. And so we get we get caught into the addiction of the struggle, and knowing that, or thinking that it has to be hard for it to work.
Look, I get paid very well to speak. And when I was a kid, I was told that I talk too much, I talk too loud, I talk too fast, I talk too intensely.
Yeah.
Mike, stop, right? Stop. And what was happening was, my parents and my teachers and pastors and all these people, they didn't understand that these were my greatest assets.
Right.
And they were different than other people. So they wanted to squash them and get me back into the homogenized society that they were comfortable in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and even in corporate, Mike, you're too intense. Like, I am intense, right? You can see it. I'm intense, but it's a loving intensity. Right. It's not a condescending mm-hmm. intensity.
Right.
It's not an intimidating intensity.
Right.
It's a loving intensity. But I was told by HR managers, you're too intense. They feel disrespected. They feel whatever, not valued. They feel talked down to. And I'm like, no, I'm trying to encourage them and lift them up. Holy crap. Like my whole life, it was almost like people were trying to get me to stop using my gifts.
Right.
And as soon as I really started using them, that's when the money really started showing up in my life.
My gosh.
And success. Our zone of genius is the thing that we enjoy.
Yes.
It's the thing that we love. It lights us up. It never feels like working. People throw money at you.
I know. Isn't it something? It's crazy. I remember so I'm going to get like real vulnerable here with you in a second. But like, I remember being in an anesthesia school in my master's degree, and one of my classmates, out of, you know, loving kindness in air quotes, because I really truly think that she was trying with a good intention to help me. But she came to me one day and she's like, hey, Lachelle, just by the way, like everybody in class hates you.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I was like, okay. So like the next day I went to school and I didn't talk to anyone because I'm like, I don't, what the heck? Turns out there was three people who didn't like me because I tried too hard on my presentations, or so they thought, and I made the rest of them look bad.
Oh, wow.
And so I didn't talk to anybody. I stopped trying. I stopped telling people how much work I was putting into it. And you know, what's the craziest part is that my very last presentation that I did for that program, the director came up to me afterwards and said, hey, do you think you could take that 5-minute presentation and create a 1-hour lecture that we have for our upcoming seminar and whatever? That one seminar led me on my speaking career that I've been doing for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But I almost squashed it because of somebody else said something. I think about somebody in my life that I love very much said to me once, he's like, you just think you're such a know-it-all. You know everything. Now people pay me what I'm worth to get them unstuck in 30 days or less. I'm literally getting paid to give them advice. So I'm like, you know what? Thank you. But so much of me really hesitated. Like, I'm just stepping into that in full ownership, because for the longest time, I allowed their definition of me to keep me down, to keep me thinking that I'm too much or not enough, and to not allow myself to truly step into the way God has called me and what He has for me and the way that He wants me to impact the world. And that's what makes me sad, to think about people living in the fine life, to not stepping into who He has made them to be, and to living this mediocre life where they look back and they have regret because they didn't show up in their true authentic self in the way that they were created to be.
Speak it, sister. That was beautiful. I mean, you nailed it. You nailed all of it. Every single person who's listening, you have a genius in you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're using that genius, whether you recognize it, whether you're trying to make it go away, whether it's been conditioned out of you, whether you want to believe bad things about yourself, whether you want to reject yourself, whether you've been told, or my father's number one saying all the time, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, right? If you were conditioned to feel shamed and feel broken and feel invaluable or non-valuable, whatever, if you were like emotionally damaged so much that you feel like that you don't have a genius and you don't have something, a gift to bring this world, you're wrong. You're wrong. And when you look and you really look and you get around the people that you love and trust and say, where's my light? What is my light? They'll tell you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the best thing you can do for yourself and for them. When they tell you your light, believe them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to push that shit away, because too oftentimes, sometimes somebody's trying to tell us good stuff about us. And we say, yeah, but you know, that just sometimes, whatever. And we try to excuse it away to make the goodness stop. It's another way of self-rejecting, right? The point is you have a genius, you have a beauty, you have a magic, you have a gift to bring this world. If you don't know what it is, get around somebody who knows you, that trusts you, that loves you, that has your back. Ask them and take an inventory, and you're going to find something that the world needs desperately. And as soon as you harness it, everything that you want and a whole lot more is going to hit you in the head, because it's right there. Because look, God wants for you what you want for yourself. All you got to do is get out of your own way. That's it. And if you believe that you're not valuable, that you're insignificant, inadequate, if you feel, if you're just living to feel secure, you're in your own way and you just got to get out. Once you get out of the way and you allow goodness in, it'll flow in so hard and so fast and so beautifully. It'll blow your mind.
And I want to just wrap this up with this image for you guys, because I love your story about your wife and how she, you know, wanted the house cleaner. You wanted to help to sweep the floor. It's like, we have answers that are given to us on the daily, like literally your solutions to your problems are coming in to your life on the daily. People are telling you what your gifts are on a regular basis. But oftentimes I think that we stand here, and I want you guys that are just listening to imagine that I have my hands out, but my fists are clenched. And we stand here like this, and we want all the help. And I remember praying. I'm like, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, but please, please, please. And then he kind of finally said to me, but you're not listening. I'm trying to answer you, but you're not listening, sister. Yeah. Right. And so it's like, finally, when I was able to just open up my clenched fists and have my hands out in receiving mode, God has literally said to me, Lachelle, look, I have all this abundance. Everything that you have asked for is right here. All you need to do is receive it.
It's right
How
there.
Many times are you getting in your own way because you are not willing to receive the blessings that are designed uniquely for you?
So many people in this world, and people that I work with and other people, they want life to look exactly like they want it to look, and they're going to choose to not be okay until it looks exactly the way they want it to look.
Yeah.
Then if it ever starts to look like they want it to look, they're going to move the finish line so that they're not okay.
Yeah.
But I want to challenge everybody here. Get really clear about what you want your life to look like. Okay. What do you want your health, your wealth, your relationships? What do you want these things to look like?
Yep.
Okay. Get crystal clear, write these things down, get crystal clear, review them every day. Every day, take steps towards these things.
Yeah.
But most importantly, pay attention and honor what life is asking from you. Sometimes you are thinking from such a limited mindset, a limited perspective, that life has something way more spectacular for you. And if you demand life to look your way, all you're doing is cutting off the flow that's going to give you what you deserve instead of what you want. And I'll say this, this is absolute freaking true story. When I got fired and I was trying to, all I wanted was a job. And I was like listening to Abraham Hicks and I was meditating and I was visualizing and thinking Grow Rich. And I knew the shirt that I was going to wear on my first day to work. And I knew where I wanted to work. Man, I was putting all the work. And I was like, oh, I was like oming myself to death and home. And I was doing all the secret work to try to get this job. And I was so intense on this thing. And I know now, because I was like the runner up four or five times for jobs that I was qualified for.
Yeah, yeah.
But God's like, I can't give you what you want because I got bigger plans for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got bigger plans for you. Uh-huh. And then like when I said, okay, well, I guess that door's closed, let's start to build a business. And the business like literally started building. I mean, it was incredible. Sometimes what we want isn't what we really want. We think it's what we need to survive, and there's so much more available. If I would have had it, the reason I'm telling you to observe and honor what life is asking from you, because sometimes, right? Sometimes not getting what you want is a gift.
Yes.
And if I would have just had it my way, if I would have created that vision and just stuck with it for the rest of my life, then I wouldn't have the life that I have now. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't deserve another job. I deserved this life, but I had to like, that door had to close and that window had to close. If I would have had it my way, I'd be employed right now.
I totally agree. Like I think back on, I don't know if I told you this or not, Mike, but I literally left my corporate job of 20 years, like a month ago.
Yeah.
I thought that everything was supposed to happen in sequence and I literally had my dream job, but that wasn't where he wanted me.
That's right.
And that's what I want to hear people tell me is that, oh my gosh, like I trusted him And I did the small steps that he asked me to do. And he gave me a life beyond anything that I could have even asked for. And I think that sometimes, just like you said, we might pray, like we pray, but we don't really want the answer, right? So I'm like, God, please close doors and open doors, but only if it's like the right doors that I want you to open and close.
That I'm comfortable with.
But if you really allow for him to close doors, you don't get that job that you wanted. You get fired from that job. That marriage ends. All of the things that seem like everything is going against you, those might be doors that are allowing for you to go through the doors that he's asking you to go to. And that is where your purpose is.
Listen, the way to get from where you want to where you are to where you want, it's not comfortable. And if you're looking for the comfortable steps, mm-hmm. you're going to keep living the same life you're living. And this is why I say live for a mission that's greater than your own comfort and your security, right?
Yeah.
So in order to get here, and listen, Lachelle, I mean, I don't know what your day looks like, but most days, my calendar is mine. My day is mine. There's flexibility. And I wake up when I want, and I go to sleep when I want, and I say yes when I want, and I say no when I want, and I don't do things that I don't want, and I have like employees that I delegate to. My day is like awesome. Like my calendar is mine. I have time freedom. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. And in order to get here, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like it was uncertain.
Yeah.
It felt unsafe. It felt volatile. Some months were awesome. Some months weren't. There was a lot of fear, but I did things that most people won't do. And that's why I have the life that most people won't live.
Yeah.
The question is, like, not for you, but for the listeners.
Yeah.
Do you just want average and fine and dread and Mondays suck and Fridays are awesome and I can't wait till vacation? Is that what you really want? Or do you want a life that you get to wake up to every day excited? And at the end of your life, you say, that was awesome. Right? Is that what you want? Like, what do you want? Do you just want this watered down life based on fear and security and certainty?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I mean, that's not a life well lived.
No. And it's like Tony Robbins says that the quality of our life is in direct proportion to the degree of uncertainty we're willing to endure. Right?
That's right.
Like how amazing is that? For real, like Mike, I feel like you are such an answer to so many people's prayers. The people that are listening, and you stir up things in people's spirits that say, okay, well, wait a minute. Maybe I am living a fine life that's not extraordinary. Maybe it's just good enough, but I really am being called for more. And I just think that you are living out your purpose in our conversation. And I just adore you. I feel like people are going to want to connect with you. They're going to want to follow you. They're going to want to learn more about you. And so we are going to make sure that all of your amazingness is in the show notes. But is there anything else that we haven't had a chance to touch on today that you really, really want to dive into before we kind of wrap up our conversation?
Look, on my website, and I know you'll have the link in there. It's called the Inner Game of Wealth Basic Training. All right. And the first step is in this whole journey is there's four voices inside of you. Okay. There's four voices that are speaking to you sometimes at the same time. And sometimes there's only one or you're not paying attention to one because it's drowned out.
Right.
But those four voices are insecurity, like fear of loss, inadequacy, not good enough, mm-hmm. insignificance, I don't matter, and inspiration, I can't believe I get to do this. Like those four voices are in you, and which one you're listening to determines the quality of your life. Okay. Insecurity, inadequacy, insignificance, they're lies. If you listen to those, you're always going to be white knuckling life. If you listen to the voice of inspiration, that is the voice of God. That is the voice of your soul. That is your divine essence and your purpose screaming to you. Those are your dreams. Those are your ambitions. That's your destiny. And it's screaming to you trying to get your attention. But if it's drowned out by insecurity, inadequacy, and insignificance, all you're going to do is be fighting for survival when there's so much more left to life.
That is so perfect. That is such a perfect way to end this. And one of the things that I always do is I ask the guests to think of a question that the audience should think of to help move them forward. You kind of already just did, but I'm curious if there's something else that you really want people to think about that's going to move them forward.
Yeah. What do you really want? What do you really want?
Yeah.
And I'll add one more.
Yeah.
What do you What do you really want? And there's always a want underneath the want, right? You got to keep going down. Yeah. There's really an emotional payoff that you're looking for through the thing that you want.
Right.
But when you understand the imagination or the perceived headlock you think you're in, as you dissolve that, right? As you dissolve that headlock, you want, what that emotional payoff starts to, it starts to come to fruition.
Yeah.
I want you to ask yourself, is this headlock that I'm in, is it real? Is it true or am I making it up? Is it just a story? To your point, was it all of those people that hated you? Is that true? And the answer would have been no, because all you needed was one. No, I didn't say that, Lachelle, right? And you would have realized that was a house of cards and that whole thing would have fell apart.
Yep.
That headlock that you think you're in, is it really true? 99.9% of the time, you're going to find out you're making that up.
Oh my gosh. That's just
a lie.
That's so true. Like, what do I really want? And then sometimes we get into our own way, like, well, I don't really deserve that, or that's too selfish, or I'm not really capable of that, or what will people really think, or that's not what a good, person would want, or blah, 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 blah. And so those are stupid headlocks that we put ourselves in. And so to acknowledge that is going to free us of really understanding the desires that I believe God puts on our hearts. And it's up to us to listen to what he's trying to tell us inside of us.
Your desires is God speaking through you to try to experience life, right? God's experiencing life through us, right? We're just toys, right? Yeah. God's like working through us to try to play in this world.
Yeah.
So he's giving us all these dreams and ambitions and goals and desires and these wants, and God wants to drive a Lambo, right? And he's got to drive that Lambo through us. Like he's saying, hey, you want a Lambo? And you're like, I don't want a Lambo. God's like, no! You want a Lambo? I'm trying to go buy a Lambo.
I love that, because I've always said, like, we need to get out of God's way, but like, I've never thought about it like that he is literally trying to live his life, through us. And like, we get in his way all the time. Like, freaking A, like, why do we do that?
Think about this. God created us so he could experience the earth, right?
Yeah.
So the point is, this is a human playground, and this is all a playground. Again, we're in the bonus. This is all a divine playground. We're all just ghosts in a meat suit. And God's like, I like driving fast.
Yeah.
So I need you to go buy a Lambo. And you're like, but only rich people buy Lambos and they're shameful. And God's like, yeah, I love the rich people, but I really want you to go buy a Lambo. And you're like, no, I don't need a Lambo.
Yeah.
God's like, no, I'm trying to get your attention. I want to drive fast.
Right, exactly. And if he tells you to give away the Lambo, you have to be willing to give away the Lambo. That's the thing, right? It's just the holding on to things so dang tight that he doesn't love. And so, oh my gosh, there's so much. Like, I feel like we could talk all day long. I feel like people that are listening are like, okay, I need to get back with my day. I want to make sure you guys have all the access to Mike so that you can follow him, that you can work with him if you want to. If you haven't already, make sure that you hit subscribe and leave a review. Let Mike know how much you appreciated him and what you loved most about this episode. I also absolutely love it when you guys take screenshots, share this in your stories, tag us so that we get a chance to like acknowledge you, and share this episode out with anybody who needs to hear it. And if you need to get unstuck, goodness sakes, there are resources here within the Unstuck podcast and Mike that are here to get you unstuck and to live the life that you were meant to live. Thank you guys all for listening. Mike, thank you so much for being here. I so appreciate you more than you know.
Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Unstuck podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.